Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits, sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
To our podcast. I'm Jess.
And I'm Becca.
And this is Binging with Benefits, B.
Thanks, baby.
Welcome to the chaos. Welcome to the chaos and Binging with Benefits. Oh, now I'm like A, B, C. No, stupid. Okay, Jess's brain needs to chill out.
Oh, I haven't taken my meds yet.
I did, and they are very, and I had a few sips of my pumpkin cream cold brew. Oh, let's take a second and welcome pumpkin season. Yes, it's still August when we're recording this. No, we don't care.
I have zero cares.
Zero cares left in our bodies. Give us the one thing that's bringing us joy right now.
Literally. That and the engagement of the century.
Okay, let's talk about that. That's actually perfect because we are recording the day after National White Girl Holiday, mm-hmm. which was yesterday, August 26th. The 26th, when pumpkin spice lattes came back from Starbucks, mm-hmm. and our dear, close, and personal friend, Taylor Allison Swift, got engaged to the love of her life. And did I have chills most of the day?
So sweet.
I can't. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, me too. I was talking to a friend yesterday and I was like, can you imagine, number one, like all of the parties, like the engagement party, the yes. bridal party.
Oh my God.
All the things. And then also the wedding itself. Gonna be insane.
I mean, literally wedding of the century.
Literally. I was like, this is like Prince Charles and Diana
100% status.
Like, this is royalty. This is American dynasty.
This is American dynasty. This is the great American dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of, like, I saw a post this morning where someone was trying to compare it to, like, oh, every generation has a royal wedding. And someone brought up, like, Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. I was like, no. No. Pales in comparison to what's happening right Literally. Now. Maybe a David Beckham and Victoria Beckham.
Maybe.
Like, I mean, a pop star and a athlete.
That's true.
So it's like very similar. But like this, the level of fame.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw the videos that I saw all over TikTok last night as I was scrolling and not sleeping of like just compilation videos of women's reactions and like a principal going over the loudspeaker yes. at an all-girls school and like announcing it. A professor canceling yes. the test because of, he's like, I'm not going to be able to focus. Y'all aren't going to be able to focus. Get out of here. Like, this is canceled. We're canceling this. It felt like that scene in Willy Wonka where they like realize there's a fifth golden ticket and everyone, like, school's let out. Everyone's chaos.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is like 10 times more important.
No, literally, this is so much real. More important. And also, I love all the things that I'm seeing about like Taylor and Travis's future child being like, I can't pick between being a football star and a rock star.
like High School Zac Musical. Efron,
yeah. High School Musical.
Like Troy Bolton.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
What's that song? The high school, the gotta get your head in the game. It's like, shoot, all my brain is thinking K-pop Demon Hunters. The bridge. The patterns in my past now. But that's all I'm thinking. Anyway. This is it. My brain is highly caffeinated.
As I take a sip of my pumpkin spice
chai. You know what's so funny is like, really though, this, what we're talking about right now, this episode comes out like 2 weeks after we record it. It's gonna be so irrelevant, but like I don't care. This is girlhood.
Yeah, no, this is peak girlhood right here.
This is peak girlhood, and I'm so stoked mm-hmm. about it. Oh, me too. So excited to see everything.
I can't wait. I like her dress. And then also, yeah, I was like, can you imagine like the songs that are going to come from this too?
Oh my God. Like, I did not even think about the album in the era.
Yeah.
Can we redo the Lover era? Because that was obviously wasted on a freaking vampire boy who wanted to dull her shine.
Yeah. Just, it's so funny for me to think about like Joe Alwyn because I'm like,
oh my God.
What was he planning on, like, what was he thinking when he got with her?
Because nothing. I don't think he was thinking. I think he thought, shiny pretty thing, I want that, and then realized, oh no, this is too shiny, I must dull the shine.
Yeah. What? Why? Like,
yeah, no.
Literally, why?
That is
like Taylor is literally Elvis.
Yeah,
but like bigger.
Bigger.
I don't even know how to explain. Like, she is the Elvis of our generation, where it's like groundbreaking music.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to dull the shine of Taylor Swift.
It just goes to show you that no matter how bright you shine, someone's always going to want to dull your shine.
There's the door.
And there's going to be a line of narcissists waiting to bring you down to their level and make you think that you deserve them. We could go into all of that.
Oh my God.
We can go into
Seriously, sir, there is the door.
There is the door.
Please see yourself out.
Okay. But talking about how Travis is, the way he fell in love with her wasn't because of what she could give him, or, you know, he didn't fall in love with her in quiet, dark restaurants. He fell in love with her watching her be her biggest, baddest self at the Eras Tour.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Like, that is... that is exact. I don't know. That just to me is like a whole lesson in like,
yeah,
be your biggest, baddest self and the right people are going to find you, romantic or not.
Literally, out of the millions and millions and millions of people that went to the Eras Tour.
Yeah.
She's now engaged to one of those people who went.
Literally.
Like, the right people will find you.
The right people will find you while you're being your most authentic self.
Yes.
And while you're being your most magnetic self.
Like, literally think about that. Millions of people went, and she's now engaged to one of those people.
I mean, granted, it's he's not a nobody.
No, he's not a nobody. But I'm saying, like, but he did attend, and there were millions of people that went to that all across the world.
Yeah,
and he was like, you know what? Watch me,
watch me, watch me. I saw somebody say there was a meme. I think I shared it in our McSwifties chat. We have a chat with us immediate MKZ OG sisters, our mom, our sister-in-law, and then like a really, really close family friend who we all went to the Eras Tour together.
Which, by the way, her last name also starts with MC. So, yeah, so it just perfect. Really fits perfect.
It was McSwifty. It was
perfect. Yeah, we're McSwifties.
And we have an Instagram chat and we have a group chat on texts and everything. And that group chat went off yesterday, which was so great.
Yeah.
But the Instagram one, I think I sent it in there. There was a meme of like, it's going to be really weird to see Swift on the back of his jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. Congrats to Mr. and Mrs.
Congrats
Taylor Swift.
Congrats to Mr. and Mrs. Taylor Swift. This is actually a perfect segue.
Okay.
Into the story that I wanted to tell you.
Yeah. We were at the thrift store and she goes, I had to tell you a story. And I was like, oh, okay. No, wait. We're recording tomorrow. I'll tell you tomorrow.
No, literally. I was like, I was thinking about filming it for content anyways. And I was like, oh, I'll do it while we're at the thrift store. I'll set up the camera. But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, no, we literally have a podcast. I'm going to tell her while we record for the podcast. Like, this is how co-hosts do this, right? Like, I've heard many co-hosts say, like, we don't talk to each other until we're recording, and like, we're gonna do this. So anyways, speaking of Travis Kelce,
yes,
okay, and how Travis Kelce got his boo by shooting his shot on a podcast. So
okay,
this is like, you know, tongue-in-cheek, shooting my shot on a podcast, maybe. Anyways, I'm stumbling through my words. Okay.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. Who are we talking about?
Okay, so I was taking one of my little breaks yesterday. Like, I've been following a pretty regimented schedule to like help bring me out of what I talked about a couple weeks ago in the place that I'm in. And I was scrolling through TikTok and I stumbled across this comedian.
Oh, okay.
And Becca, I swear, this man is literally my type.
Oh,
like, if you could build a bear, my crush.
Where's that store? Build a bear, my crush.
Build a crush.
Build a crush.
We gotta figure something. That's good. We gotta trademark that.
Okay, so
we're gonna figure out how to do this. Who? We need a web designer.
I need a trademark person stat.
Right. Stat. Immediately. My brain goes to like the Lizzie McGuire closet.
Oh, yeah.
Web design, like build a crush.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
Okay. Anyways, I come across his TikTok. I'll show you real fast. And this man is to a T my type.
All my interests are liberal, okay? I don't fit in liberal places. I'm built for Tractor Supply. I love a nice little they-them coffee shop, a gay little bookstore, okay? I can't be waiting for my slutty little oat milk latte, and I'm just in the way from people. But unfortunately, Tractor Supply doesn't have a barista.
Okay, and I was very early to this video.
Yeah.
It's now got over 363,000 views.
Oh my gosh. Okay?
But I was like, a Republican looking, bearded, tatted
yeah.
man who is hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously I saw this and like I commented, right?
Yeah.
And I left a little comment like, oh, that's funny from the way you speak. You're not presenting Republican. You're presenting exactly my type, is what Ooh. I commented.
Oh, shoot.
Anyways, so then I go to his page and I actually start watching his stuff. I'm like, oh, this dude's actually funny. Like, not only is he like super mm-hmm. cute, but like, he's actually really funny. Like, I'll have to show you some of his videos. I had been shooting my shot with on LinkedIn all morning mm-hmm. by like reaching out to recruiters, reaching out to like people at jobs that I had applied to
yeah.
And looking for referrals and all that. And I was like, feeling bold. I'm like, I've been shooting my shot all day. I'm gonna shoot my shot at this man.
Mm-hmm.
So I slid into his DMs.
Ooh, okay. How'd it go?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, he's pretty popular. Okay. He's got a number of followers. I don't know that he's even seen this.
Okay.
But I sent him a DM and I just said, shooting my shot with the like eyes emoji. Okay. Okay. So I do that. I'm like, you know, whatever, feeling bold, feeling bad, fine. And then a couple hours later, when I'm on my next break from my workaholic schedule,
uh-huh.
I happen to be on TikTok again, and he goes live. And so I was like, I need to just see. I'm like, you know what? I have only seen the curated bits of him,
yeah,
of what he's put on TikTok. I need to just see. So I go to his live, and I start watching, and he's like juicing.
Okay, yeah.
Like, have you seen that Jordan Stallion doing the juicing right now? On TikTok,
no.
There's a creator who normally shares recipes of restaurants, or he's the Khmer guy.
Yeah,
you know who he is. But he is in this like hand pressing juice era.
That's so funny.
And so it's becoming popular again. So he's using one of those like hand pressed juice things, and he's just chatting. He was just so funny. Like, I know he's still on because obviously he's live, but there was like 13 of us there watching, and I was like,
you might, yeah.
Am I gonna comment on this person's life right now? I'm not usually a commenter.
Yeah.
The fact that I had this much interaction on a TikTok
yeah.
in one day is nuts.
That's record breaking.
Normally, I'm a lurker, okay? Like, yeah. I rarely post on mine. I like and I scroll. I don't comment ever.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm gonna reach out. I'm gonna start talking to him. There's 13 of us in this live, so I start talking to him.
Chances are pretty good.
Here's the thing. That video also hit a lot of women like me. Because there's so many comments of like, you're my type. Are you in, where are you living? Da 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 da. Like all these comments. I'm like, okay, whatever. But like, whatever. So I start commenting. Basically, I start sending him questions and he's answering. And like, there was a little back and forth of like, I was roasting him for being a liberal and into sports, because I feel like being into sports is a very Republican conservative thing to be. Anyway, he's about to log off. And as he's about to log off, I just dropped it in the chat. I just said, check your DMs, sir. And he looked at it, read it, and he laughed and he said, will do. He hasn't looked at it as far as I know. It's possible, like I've seen some of his other videos where like he has gotten thousands and thousands of DMs and message requests. So it's possible it's not being seen.
That's
basically.
Amazing.
So yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know what? We'll see.
So you know what? You know, even if he doesn't reply, like, you know what? I got a podcast bit out of it.
No, that's amazing. That is so funny.
But if he does, like, that's season two.
Yeah, I was gonna say he is in Los Angeles. He said so.
He just moved to Los Angeles. I guess I should shout him out. His name is Spencer Spicy on TikTok and Instagram. If this turns into my Taylor and Travis moment, like, y'all heard it first.
I mean,
here first, and wedding invites coming via TikTok.
Amazing. I love that. Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see.
And also, if you ever see this clip, check your DMs.
So funny.
Oh, anyways, but that's
I'm excited for season two.
There could be no seasons. This could be canceled mid-climax.
Yeah.
Of the story. Of the story.
We'll see.
That could be it.
That's amazing. I love that.
Anyways, now that I've yapped your ear off, you want me to yap your ear off more?
Yes.
Oh,
so excited for this movie you're about to tell me about.
So I'm about to tell you about the documentary called Southern Fried Lies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was available on Hulu. Now it's on Peacock. I don't even know where to begin. Like, there's going to be so much to this that I'm not going to be able to tell you about because you just have to watch it. It's literally an hour and a half long.
Okay.
And the way that it's done is so masterfully done.
Ooh, okay.
The way that they jump from interview to interview and the way that they kind of edit things together to make you draw conclusions and to make you start to like compare stories.
Yeah.
Beatissimo. So good.
Okay. I'm excited.
One of the main players who we're focusing on, her name is Donna Herring. The way they open this documentary, it gives you everything you need to know about Donna.
Okay.
They open with a bunch of quotes from her and she's talking about, "Are y'all gonna win me an Oscar? I just want to know, is this going to win an Oscar?"
I love like, her already.
And then she's like, "I don't believe in the Me Too movement no more than my butt has beat anorexia." And that's just my opinion. Don't be sending me hate mail.
Okay.
That's exactly what she... Okay, so like, I think that's the first thing she says.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
My opinion's shifting a little.
Another one is like... They start in hot, so you know exactly what kind of a woman Donna is, okay?
Yeah.
She is like the... pompadour bangs. They keep cutting to videos of her like cooking in the kitchen. She's sitting doing an interview at her dining room table. She's like, "You'll find as you go through Arkansas that there's a lot of DSD, dog shit dumb, and it's rampant." Okay, so we're in Camden, Arkansas.
Okay.
This is like an everyone knows each other small town. Like, we're talking most of these interviews that they're interviewing people that live in this town. There are two hairstylists cutting people's hair and they're filming them and they're interviewing the hairstylist and the people. Like, it is like small town gossip. They're in a pawn
shop.
That's
amazing.
It's so beautifully done. Gorgeous. It's just perfect decisions throughout
this whole
thing. Interviewing people at the pawn shop, and it's like the men like sitting there, whatever, the coroner's on the back of his pickup truck and like, you know, sitting like this like shooting the shit, you know.
Amazing.
We're talking like bless his heart.
Yeah. Okay.
Status.
Love
okay.
It.
South Arkansas. Donna is our main person that we're focusing on a lot. And she does a lot of talking in this, which is perfect for the story.
Okay, I'm so excited.
So Donna, you've come to find out, she basically like runs the town socially. Like, she's like the quote unofficial mayor of this town, and I don't know who calls her that or if that's like something that like she said and now everyone's picked up on it, but she's like charming and connected, but like she's also super dangerous and people know that about her.
Ooh, okay.
Like, they don't know how dangerous, but there's like lots of suspicion around her. She has a daughter.
We're talking like gun dangerous, or are we talking like rumor dangerous?
We're talking rumor dangerous at this point. Okay. And she is married to her second husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she has some really great quotes in there about men that you're going to love.
Okay. I'm so excited.
She talks about like, "The only men I like are roosters and snowmen." Like, she decorates a lot with roosters and snowmen.
Oh my God.
And she's like, "Because those are the only two men you can tell them exactly how you feel. Basically, if a rooster makes you mad, you chop him up. And if a snowman makes you mad, you melt him." This woman, okay?
Amazing.
So she's married to her second husband and she has a daughter, Alex, who is like the golden child. And Alex is like, Donna will do anything to set Alex up for success.
Mm.
This is where it gets interesting. So there's a man that comes to town. His name is Matt Jacobs.
Is this a true story?
This is a true story.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yes. I know. It sounds like something made up.
Yeah.
But it is 100%. They're interviewing these people. It's cut straight from the cow's mouth.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
Like, it is so great.
Okay.
So Matt Jacobs, I don't know if he moved into town or if he was already in town. He is now there. He is a Deepwater Horizon survivor. Do you know what that was?
Deepwater Horizon.
Mm-hmm. I feel bad. I didn't know what this was until they tell you. Do you remember the oil rig that exploded? It's like the biggest oil spill in American history.
When was this?
Early 2000s, I want to say.
Okay, so I was definitely a kid then.
Yeah, let me look.
Okay, I was like going to be so embarrassed if it was like last year. And I'm like, nope.
There's a movie even. 2010.
Oh, okay. No, I was an adult. No excuse.
Let's see. It refers to a 2010 oil rig explosion in the Gulf of Mexico that led to the largest marine oil spill in U.S. history. After the rig sank, a catastrophic blowout released approximately 4.9 million barrels of oil over 87 days.
So oh my gosh, wait, that does sound familiar though.
Yeah. Yeah. The big oil spill and they Dawn the dish soap has made it like a part of their marketing. Like,
wow.
That's where all the like, when you see them washing oil off of ducks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow.
So he is one of the survivors of this. Okay. So he is from Camden, I guess. And so he gets a huge settlement from being a survivor of this. So yeah, now he's very rich. I think it's like maybe $2 million is what he's known like to be worth at this point.
Oh, that's a lot to get that.
I know. Exactly. He's rich. That makes him attractive. And so he's the most eligible guy in Camden. Mm-hmm. And he happens to live down the road from Donna. How he got this house, people say Donna is a realtor and she sold him the house. But then she vehemently denies that she sold him the house.
Interesting. Okay.
She's like, I never sold him that house. So-and-so from her office sold him the house. She's like, I only met him because he came in to sign papers. And that's how I introduced myself.
Okay.
I helped him sign papers.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone says that he bought the house from her.
Interesting. Okay.
Anyway, so now he conveniently lives down the road from Donna and her husband and her daughter, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So she is now laser focused on setting up her golden child, Alex, with this bachelor.
How old is Matt?
Matt is, that's another thing too, is like, technically Alex was 17 when they started dating.
Oh.
And I believe he was 20 something, 24 maybe.
Okay.
Matt has a son that he had when he was really young.
Uh-huh.
And his son was 17 when he died. So I think maybe Alex is like a couple years older than his son.
Got it. Okay. That's so sad.
Yeah, I think he was in his 30s and she technically was 17 when they first started dating, and they dated for 2 years. So he might have been 32. Yeah. Okay. But she's setting her daughter up.
I mean, I'm not so much worried about the age. I mean, there is a pretty big gap there, but I'm like, a 30-year-old with a 17-year-old, you're in two different worlds.
And also, one of you isn't legal.
No, literally, that's my next question was, what's the legal age? Because some states,
yeah,
it's like 16, which is wild.
I mean, it is Arkansas. I don't know if we have any listeners in Arkansas, but I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But
anyway, so like Donna's always up and down the road bringing food, trying to like
she's
set them up.
Yeah.
And it works. Okay. They start dating.
Yeah.
And then they get engaged.
Oh.
The whole nine yards. Everything looks perfect. Like, she won. She got her daughter set up with the Camden's most eligible bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's a plot twist. Matt dies in a tragic car accident.
Oh.
Okay. He dies at the age of 34.
Oh,
36, gosh. Excuse me. He dies at the age of 36. And like, it's out of nowhere. Like, everyone's completely shocked.
Horrible.
It doesn't really make sense. It was a car accident by himself on the road. He like ran into a tree. Heartbreaking. Okay.
Yeah.
And then a couple weeks later, Matt's will gets released. And Becca, buckle up, because this is where it gets real fun. The will leaves almost his entire fortune to Alex.
Wow.
Not his son, his teenage son, Jordan. And he leaves in his will all of his estate to Alex. Like, there's a part in his will where it says like, I hereby certify that I am engaged to be married to my fiance.
Oh
yeah, like, he, which doesn't make any sense because they have lawyers come in during this and they're like, that doesn't matter, that is not legal in the state of any state, really. Like, they don't care who you're engaged to.
Yeah,
in your wills, like, that doesn't happen. And also people are like, there's no way that Matt would have left Jordan out of his will.
Yeah.
Except there is a little part. Okay. There is a little. They've left him $40,000 only to go towards paying for him to go to college. And Jordan's like, I know that's not my dad, because my dad and I have talked about the fact that like, I don't want to go to college. And he didn't care that I didn't want to go to college. He knew I wanted to go work in the oil field.
Yeah.
So they're like, this just doesn't make sense. So like, naturally, like Jordan and Matt's family is just like livid. They just don't understand it. And they're, you know, the whole town is whispering. It's a small town, right? They're all like, why would he cut his son out of the will? So then that's when the documentary just casually drops that the will was forged. Surprising who? No one.
I'm like, wow. Really? Was it?
And guess whose name comes up?
Oh, was it Alex? No, wait. Was it the mom?
Donna.
Donna.
Donna's name gets floated around. Right. So now the FBI get involved because, hello, forging a will is like,
yeah,
literally a federal crime.
And so immoral.
I mean, yes.
Like, so immoral. Because that's horrible. That's horrible. Because, like, so, yeah, someone's like, okay, I want to leave all this stuff to somebody. And then they die. And then you're like, hey, psych. I'm going to take it all.
I'm going to take everything. Okay. So the will is forged. This is another thing, too, is like Jordan's family, they're like, if he had a will, we would know about it. There's no way he had a will. They're like, he didn't have a will. He was young. He was smart with his money, but he was still spending money. Like, he bought three houses. Like,
oh, wow.
You know, he's spending, and I don't know, like, evidently $2 million can go pretty far in Camden, Arkansas. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah.
Or mid 2000s.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, can you get a house for lunch money in the early 2000s?
Okay. He was 34 when he died in 2015.
Okay. Okay.
Deepwater Horizon accident, 2010.
Okay. And he dies in 15.
And he dies 5 years later.
Horrible.
I know. It's so sad. But his whole family, like, he has a brother and a sister-in-law, and then obviously his son. They're like, his brother was his best friend. If he had a will, he would tell us about it.
Yeah.
There's no way he had a will.
Yeah. And he leaves everything to his fiance.
To his fiance. And so the FBI gets involved and they do their like FBI hacking stuff, and they find out that this will was created on a website called like FormSwift or something.
Okay.
Because they're like, they had lawyers look at this and they're like, this is not the language we would use to draw up a will. Like, first of all, the number one is there. It would have been spelled out O-N-E. The whole fiance thing doesn't matter. Like, there's just like errors that they're like, this is not drawn up by a lawyer. And so they find out it was drawn up by just a website. Someone had drag and dropped information into the fields. One of the lawyers calls up the website and he's like, I happen to get a really nice person. And she told me the will was created on their website 5 days after he died.
What?
Yes. So someone forged the will, created this will on this website 5 days after Matt Jacobs was already pronounced dead.
Oh my God.
So he's either signing stuff from the grave or obviously there's foul play. Okay. Okay.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. There's so much stuff I can't even, I don't even have time to tell you about. Okay.
Wow.
So anyways, it comes out that they figure out that it's Donna because
obviously
on the website, Donna uses her name.
She's like forging a document. Love Donna.
Love Donna. Dot the heart. Like I dot the I with the heart. And Donna then claims, well, all I did was I had a copy of his will. Oh, he did have a will. It was, but I only had a copy and no one knew where to find it. So I did what I had to do. And I took the copy of the will and I plugged it into the will on the website.
Okay.
And then did it. And everyone's like, well, where's the will? She's like, well, I didn't need it anymore. I got rid of the copy of the will.
Oh my gosh, this woman. Okay. Right.
Okay. It's just looking messy.
Yeah. That, okay. Because that's how that works.
And Donna has text messages from Matt's brother and sister-in-law. Basically, what she says is proving that they were involved in this, that they helped her write this will.
Oh.
But it's like, but then why wouldn't they have put themselves in the will?
Yeah.
Anyways, so they end up getting Donna, Alex, and Donna's sister, Marion.
Donna's sister is
involved? I know. I don't understand. I don't remember how her sister was involved, but somehow her sister was involved.
Weird.
And like Alex admitted knowledge of committing a crime, I think is what it was. Like she didn't actually do anything, but she admitted to knowledge of this. And they get caught up in, oh, and her brother-in-law. They all get caught up in wire fraud charges.
Brother-in-law.
So okay. Donna and her sister and then her sister's husband.
Oh, got it. Okay.
It's so funny because like at the beginning of this, it's she's all dolled up on camera. Like she looks like a dance mom. You know?
Okay. Yep.
And she's like you know, getting ready for interviews. Oh, don't y'all make me look like a hick or nothing. And it's like, ma'am, you forged a multi-million dollar will.
Oh my God.
You did that to yourself.
It's too late.
Okay. All right. Okay. So then there's even more to this. Okay. The documentary gets a little bit sneaky and making you draw dots, connect dots, right?
Yeah.
So Matt officially died in a car accident, mm-hmm. and they're citing blunt force trauma, but there are rumors, okay, that obviously Donna had something to do with this. How would she have something to do with this? The whole documentary, Donna is seen a lot in the kitchen stirring soup. And remember how she would bring food to him constantly? Like, mm-hmm. she would have him over for dinner all the time. She'd bring him dinner all the time, all of this. Anyways, people swear that Donna poisoned him.
Yeah.
She somehow was involved in the crash, okay?
Yeah.
I think they did eventually get his phone. Because they were like, we need his phone. Yeah. Alex was in possession of his phone. And she's like, oh, I don't have it anymore. Like, I got rid of it. And just turns out that Alex's new boyfriend was now using the phone. Anyway, so they got the phone. But they have text messages from that night of him driving to go meet a woman named Lori.
Okay.
He has a mistress.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay.
So he has a mistress named Lori, and people think that Donna and Alex found out about this, and that's why they decided to kill him.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's pointing at.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Okay. Bodies start piling up throughout this. Okay. Matt, dead.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt, by the way, works for Donna's husband.
Okay.
Like, when he first moved into the house down the street, Donna's like, oh, what do you do for work? And he's like, I can't work. I have PTSD. Like, mm-hmm. who's going to hire a man with PTSD? And she's mm-hmm. like, you know what? Daddy Doug will. And that's her husband, Daddy mm-hmm. Doug. And he owns a pest control business.
Okay.
And so he works for Daddy Doug. He works for Donna's husband.
Okay.
And there's a coworker that he would work with pretty often. Like, I think almost all the time, that mm-hmm. somehow miraculously ends up dead as well. And they think it was because Matt was telling this coworker, hey, I'm seeing this woman.
Oh,
I'm thinking of breaking things off with Alex. And he knew too much.
Yeah.
And so I think he was going to testify or something, but he shows up dead.
Oh my gosh.
He was just found in the river. And so people, the sheriff, obviously, and the coroner are both in Donna's pocket. Like, everyone in this is in Donna's pocket.
Oh my gosh.
And because the sheriff shows up and the sheriff's like, oh, he just jumped. And they're like, that man was not depressed. He was happy about, I mean, we don't know for sure. Like, obviously, like, there's so many cases of people being like, I couldn't believe this person was depressed.
Yeah.
But they're saying the sheriff was like, oh, he jumped off the bridge. But then I think they did a toxicology report and there was like stuff in his system. And they're like, but was it from the pest control stuff? We don't really know. Oh, and they never did a toxicology report on Matt, by the way. There's a moment where they exhume the body. It's nuts. But they exhume the body. And they drop the casket like multiple times. They don't notify the coroner, and the sheriff just decide to do it one day because they're in whose pocket? It's nuts. It's nuts.
What?
Okay, so that's the second body. When they're going to trial, they were going to be calling the mistress to come. Oh, she just got summoned.
Yeah.
And then 2 days after she got summoned, she was dead.
Okay.
From a gunshot.
Oh my gosh.
That they say was self-inflicted, but the angles don't make sense.
Oh my gosh.
In the like back.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
They're like self-inflicted. How? Like, literally angles how? Don't. How do you do? And why would you choose to shoot yourself in the back?
Yeah.
No. Something else that the documentary does really brilliantly was like the people who aren't talking.
Mm-hmm.
So Donna talks, Jordan the son talks, FBI and lawyers and people in the shops and everything talks. Alex refuses to be a part of this. We find out Alex refuses to be a part of Donna's life at all.
Oh.
When they ask Donna about Alex and if she comes by, she starts crying. She's like, nope, we're not gonna talk about that. We're not gonna talk about that. So it's like Alex has refused to be in her mom's life since this.
Mm.
Donna's husband Doug refuses to be on camera. There's one moment he walks in and you can hear her talking to him during one of her interviews. He refuses to be on camera, refuses to talk to anybody.
Wow. Okay.
Neither does the sister or brother-in-law okay. who were also charged. So the silence just feels really loud.
Yeah.
It's like people are saying like, we don't want to say anything that could get us into deeper trouble. But Donna is yapping. It's so great. So by the end of it, like, we don't really get every answer. They kind of leave a lot for you to draw your own conclusions and things.
Oh, man.
They do end up getting sentenced. Donna does go to prison, but only for, I want to say, maybe a year. Wow. And she was let out early in 2021 because of COVID stuff.
Wow.
And then she's like talking and she's like, oh, prison was so easy. There was it was not anything hard. Like, I did a bunch of reading.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Obviously, the will gets tossed because they find out it's a fraud. The son gets everything and he gets to start his life. And he has a son of his own and he's like, you know, got these properties and he gets set up. But like all the questions around Matt's death, like completely unsolved. What? They're hoping that this film helps bring more information out from people who like might know something or like might have more evidence that could draw connections between how this happened. Because I think they exhumed the body to do toxicology, but then something happened where they didn't do toxicology. I don't remember.
That is insane.
There's literally, it's only an hour and a half, but there's so much information in this. I can't even keep everything straight.
Wow.
But anyways, Southern Fried Lies has everything you could possibly want.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. And like it ends with just Donna like stirring a pot of stew. They do, it's such a great documentary. It's just done so well. She's stirring a pot of stew and just smiling like a prom queen. Like, her life is still great.
Heck. Okay, first of all, we start the thing where she's talking about if you don't like something a man says, you just chop him up. And we're not.
That's what I mean. It's like they let this woman yap. And boy, does she yap. And it's so good.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's Southern Fried Lies.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm watching this immediately.
You really should. Watch it today. Gosh. I totally recommend it. I've obviously now watched it a couple times. And I still don't have all the information. Like, there's so much in there. Oh, I can't wait for you to watch it.
Wild.
It's so fun.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm so pumped. This is insane.
And there's so much I didn't even get to on my notes.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, people do the craziest stuff for money.
And like, I feel this is obviously, well, not even privileged because I don't have a ton of money. Mm-hmm. But like, why does $2 million not feel like enough to do something?
To do all that? Yeah. No.
Like, I mean, I granted inflation from 2015? I don't know. Like, maybe we just have too strong of morals.
I know. I'm like, yeah, maybe we're just normal people.
And like, I guess I don't even want to say, like, I want to ask, like, how much money would it take for you to do something? Nothing. Like, what?
I don't think there's an amount that would.
No.
There's literally not an amount that would make me want to do any of those things.
No.
Like, even just forging a will?
Hell no.
That is.
Are you kidding?
Like, even if there were no legal repercussions?
No.
That is so disgusting.
I don't need that on my karma. Are you kidding?
No, literally. Wow.
So that's Southern Fried Lies.
Oh my. Okay, I'm obsessed. I'm gonna watch
on
this
Peacock, baby. I think it's already on your page because I watched it on your Peacock.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm like, I don't know anything about this. Tell me everything. And I still don't. It doesn't sound familiar.
Like, I was looking, watching her, and at the beginning, I was just like, this woman is hilarious. And then by the end of it, you're like, this woman is diabolical.
She looks like trouble.
100%. Yeah. We knew she was trouble when she walked in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We knew.
From the moment she opened her mouth.
She looks.
And said that she believed in the Me Too movement as much as she beat anorexia.
Yeah. That's insane.
They have so many sound bites from her. It's so good.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm so excited to watch this now because this is insane.
Okay. I'm so yapped out.
I'm like, I need to stop talking.
Thought I'd see the day, but
that is perfect timing because I do have a benefit lined up for us.
Perfection.
In therapy.
We love a therapy. Hashtag go to therapy.
Literally, please. I'm just such an advocate for it. I think by the time this episode comes out, you guys have listened to the actual trauma of me living in Utah.
Yes. Yeah.
When we recorded that, the very next day I had therapy and I was like, I'm not realizing how much I'm still holding on to the pain of that.
Were you realizing this during therapy or after we talked about it?
After we talked about it. And I was like, I didn't think that I was holding on to it as much as I was.
I wondered if that like raked up the dirt a little bit.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I was talking about it in therapy and she shared with me a music video that, I'm trying so hard not to cry right now because it was like so powerful, but it's Lindsay Sterling.
Love Lindsay Sterling.
The song is called Eye of the Untold Her.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying not to cry. So throughout the music video, it starts with like a very young version of her. And, you know, people, you're not good enough. She went on America's Got Talent, I think. Mm-hmm. This one guy was like, you're not good enough. He sounds like you're strangling rats. Like,
oh, wow.
Just terrible. I'll put the violin down. Like, I should listen to him. I'm terrible.
Got it.
Oh, gosh. And then she, like, turns around. And then it's, like, the future version of her next album.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, the next version. Like, you know, like, all of her eras, essentially. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. It goes through like all of the different albums that she's had.
Mm-hmm.
And then it like cuts to the young version of herself is looking at herself now performing in front of like thousands of people.
Mm.
How many times can I cry on here?
Our podcast, we can cry for
yeah. And I'm a Cancer, so we're going to cry. Anyway, it's just, it's so insanely powerful, the visualization of this, because it's like, what if I listened to him and none of this would happen? And like, yeah, this is what I want to do and blah, blah, blah. And look at all of this beauty, you know, look at all the amazing things that have come from me not listening to the haters or whatever. I thought it was kind of interesting because I was just like, man, like 2014-ish to 2016, before I moved to Utah, I was flying there multiple times a year to do photo shoots with brands, models, like boutiques. I was there like at least a couple times a year photographing different people and clothing and all the things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need to live there because then I don't have to fly there.
Yeah.
And when I did end up moving there, the last shoot that I ever did from, it was 2018, and it was the day that I moved out of the poopy house and I did the engagement shoot.
Yeah.
That is the
last. The last shoot you did in Utah?
That's the last. Yeah.
Wow.
I lived there until 21.
Wow.
I did not open.
Yeah.
I did not open my camera bag for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because someone said I wasn't good enough or whatever, but like, you just get so stuck in survival mode that you're just like, I'm not even focused.
You're
on that.
A shell of a person. Like, you're literally just surviving.
Yeah.
And doing what you need to survive.
Literally.
And that unfortunately means that a lot of your passions and what makes you falls to the wayside.
Yeah 2022, I think, when I finally open it and I'm just like, holy crap, that's the last time.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with my hands if I don't have a camera in my hands. Like, that's always been like, I'm the girl with the camera, you know.
Yeah
And the visualization of that for Lindsay Sterling,
mm-hmm.
and her experience with that, oh man, I was not planning on crying. When are we ever planning on crying? Let's be real. Anyway, the visualization of that was just so insanely powerful that I was like, wow, okay. Like, greatness can come from the heartache and the pain of just being a human sometimes. But I was just like, watching this music video, just bawling because I was just like, goodness gracious. Like, it's so powerful and it's so beautiful, and the way it's done is so well produced. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that it was just such a beautiful example of like beauty can come from really, really terrible things.
Yeah. That is such a powerful, like, obviously I haven't seen this, but I can't wait to watch it. Cause like, even the imagery as you're describing it, like, that is powerful imagery. And as you're talking about how it made you reflect on your life and the things that you've been through, and maybe the times that, you know, you could have put down your violin or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously it makes me think about my life, and like, there are probably a million different ways that I have set down the violin. Direct correlation of the photography thing. Like, I had one bad shoot and I really didn't work again with my food and restaurant photography business.
Mm-hmm.
That affected the rest of that business. It also makes me think about all of the beauty in the future eras of me that will come from the trauma and the pain that has happened in my life for the past, you know, couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes me think of so many different people that wouldn't be who they are today if they set down their violin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to freaking call back to the beginning of this episode, like, Taylor Swift would not be who she was if she had set down her violin the second Kanye stepped all over her acceptance
speech. Absolutely.
Yeah. And she could have.
She absolutely could have.
She wouldn't be with who she is, mm-hmm. as successful as she is, as well loved as she is, mm-hmm. if she had set down her violin mm-hmm. in many different areas of her life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, that's just the well-known people. Like, if we think right. about the people in our immediate life.
Yeah.
That's really powerful. I can't wait to watch that.
It's really, really good. But yeah, I was like, what do I bring for a benefit? And I was like, this actually would be really good.
I feel like you always bring great benefits. Like, I feel like mine are always just like semblances of ideas.
No, I mean, that
are like things that don't actually feel monumental at all. And then Becca's bringing like the body knows the score. And I'm like, be nice to yourself. But anyways, no, that's, I thought that was so funny. That's such a good benefit.
Yeah. No, I loved it so much that I was like, everyone needs to watch this.
Yeah.
Because yeah, it added so much of a benefit to my personal life that yep. I was like, so many people can relate to this, like putting yeah. the violin down, whatever that means to you.
Yep.
Yeah. Whether it's survival mode or because someone says you suck, like, yeah. you know, just make sure that you pick it back up.
Yeah, seriously.
That's the important thing.
The things that make you, you, we can't, like, there are times you said, like, where we do have to set those things down
yeah.
because we do go into survival mode. Yeah. Like, I lost my spark mm-hmm. for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you see that trend of people, like, women showing videos of, like, I'm getting my sparkle back.
Yeah.
Get your sparkle back. Make yeah. sure you get your sparkle back. Make yeah. sure you pick that violin back up. Make sure that you pick that camera back up. Make sure that you bring those parts of your personality back to life after you've survived the hard shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just, yeah, it was really beautiful. And I was just like, man, I gotta spread the word.
I'm so glad
I gotta
you
spread
did.
The good word of Lindsay Sterling.
Bless your heart. I'm so glad you did. Oh, it's so fun to do a Southern accent.
It just rolls right off the tongue.
Rolls right off the tongue. It makes me look more Republican presenting than I ever thought I would be. We're Republican presenting in a liberal way.
Yeah.
I love that. Thanks so much.
But yeah. Beautiful, beautiful song, beautiful story. The music video is just incredible.
Yeah.
And yeah, you need to go watch it.
I'm so excited to watch it today.
It's good.
Yeah.
That was a fun ride.
We really went. We
went everywhere.
We went everywhere, baby.
It's like a road trip.
We really did.
I love it.
But it was a lot of. I hope everyone brought snacks.
I hope you always bring snacks.
Always bring snacks. Hello.
Oh, also, let's settle the debate.
Oh,
Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Girl, I go Twizzler. But you go Red Vine.
No, I don't.
Oh,
I
thank God. Okay, Twizzlers for sure. Red Vine, for some reason, make me cough. I feel like I might be allergic.
You're like, I have hives when I...
yeah. By default, I'm a Twizzler girl.
No, absolutely. Yeah, because Parks and Rec, for reference.
Oh, I didn't know they do that on Parks
and
Rec.
It's a very small bit. But they're like... They're having an open house for uh-huh. their engagement. And uh-huh. Leslie's like, no, we're a Red Vines family. And, or no, I'm a Twizzler family.
Uh-huh.
And then Ben's family comes in and they're like, we're a Red Vine family. You know, anyway. And so it's like, you gotta ask a question. Are you a Twizzler family or are you Red Vine?
I will say our family was a Red Vine family.
We were a Red Vine family.
And I know that it like... tastes more like licorice than a Twizzler does. But I don't like licorice unless it tastes like a Twizzler.
Yeah. Also, what is licorice?
I mean, we could go into the etymology.
Wait, okay, but also, and real quick, Tootsie Rolls. Aren't they just chocolate taffy?
Hold on a second. Chocolate? Yeah.
Like, isn't it? What else is it? Because you're like, oh, a Tootsie Roll is a Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, like you can't say it's chocolate.
It's not chocolate.
You can't really say it's taffy either.
Yeah, but it's closest to a chocolate taffy than anything else.
Yeah, what else would you call that? It's just a Tootsie Roll. Interesting. Because
anyway, it's not gum.
Oh, it's not gum.
That's definitely not gum. Anyway,
so now I'm going into Blow Pop or Tootsie Pop.
Oh, Tootsie Pop for me.
Tootsie Pop for me too.
Yeah, Tootsie Pop.
I don't need that gum. Sucks after 5 seconds.
Yeah, we're throwing it out.
Now I want Tootsie Pops. Do you remember the thing on Tootsie Pops? We're going into so many other tangents. This is how
we're trying to end this thing.
Do you remember the stars on the wrappers? I don't know if I ever figured out if that was a real thing or not. If you got a star on a wrapper, you can get a free Tootsie Pop from going to like a gas station or 7-Eleven or something.
I don't know if that was ever. I've never tried that.
Yeah, I haven't either. I was always too scared.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure if we tried that now,
no one would even know what we're doing. They're like, what is this antiquity you're bringing to my face?
Yeah, like, why is there a wrapper in my face right now?
What is this thing?
Was that just like a Southern California thing? Or was that
it was in Utah that we had that.
Oh, okay. So was it like
I think it was everywhere.
Was it a thing or was it just a rumor? Because I would love to know. Anyway, hopefully you brought snacks. Hopefully there are Tootsie Pops and and Twizzlers. What?
I'm going to answer it for you on the podcast. It's an urban legend.
No.
Not a redeemable prize.
Oh. Well, then what was the point?
I don't know.
Why put a star on the wrapper? When you found a star, that felt like the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Yeah,
moment.
It literally did.
You're like, oh my gosh, I get another one. Not that I'm going to go do it, but like.
Oh my gosh. In 1982, to deal with the prize-seeking children and their parents, Tootsie Roll Industries created a special letter and a short story called The Legend of the Indian Wrapper, and it was sent to the children who mailed in their star wrappers. But some local stores, particularly in the past, would honor that as a way to be friendly to children or to boost sales.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So it was entirely at their discretion, but not company policy.
Got it. That's really sweet.
Yeah, I like that.
I'll accept it.
Anyways, okay, so I answered it for you and we're... Can't stop yapping, even though I said I was out yapped.
You're like, hold on, snacks?
We're talking about this. Are you kidding? One of my favorite topics.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, well, thank you so much for tuning in with us. Yeah. And please share with your friends.
Share the pod. Yes. Rate, review, comment, subscribe.
Please.
Follow us on social media. We're on TikTok.
We're so fun, you guys, on TikTok. So you thought this was fun? Hold on.
Well, we have so much more planned. We just had another planning meeting last night, and we have a lot planned for y'all. Yeah. So follow us on the socials.
Yeah.
We love you so much.
Love you.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Ditch the clocks and deadlines. Time is ours to define. In this world that's all mine, we let our spirits shine. Binging with benefits. Sisters watching flicks. It's the perfect fit. Binging with benefits.